Archery, big archery episode today. Welcome back to Camp Time is Real Time. I'm your host, Sarah. Today it is Scott and Jack talking archery and just about everything. We jump right in with the white gorilla. So, I mean, that's a little taste of where we're going. This is a good one. You'll like it. Hey, keep those emails coming. CampTimeFCDC@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram, CampTime_RealTime. Enjoy the pod.
One time I was floating around, I was like either a CIT or an explorer. We must have had wood lore, so we were bored, of course. So we were just like floating around in the woods, kind of doing nothing. And I just casually see someone in the white gorilla costume in the pretty deep in the woods, just saunter by, like without a care in the world. And I start cracking up and I run back to the head counselor laughing. I'm like, someone's in a really good gorilla suit in the woods right now, and I have no idea who it is. That was the first time I've ever seen the suit, I think.
You were lying to yourself. You said white gorilla suit, but I think you saw the white gorilla.
Quite possibly. Which the suit is just built off of.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
I actually hadn't thought of that, but what a genius idea by Krista. Like, yeah. She just got free snacks and food off this made-up story, and it just evolved into this thing that lasted for years. Alex Cutler, I remember for years, had to wear that costume and sprint across the camp. Do you remember the Sarah where you were at?
I didn't know Alex was part of it. No,
I think I don't think he volunteered for it. I think he was direct. Gail bought these really nice like suits because the white gorilla became a thing at camp. It was a white gorilla and a black gorilla. And she would always have Alex Cutler and whoever like the CIT was in video put these suits on that were ungodly hot. They'd cover your full body.
Right.
And then they would say sprint from video to Gail's house, like unannounced. So the kids would just go crazy, but they'd chase after them and try and tackle them. And
I did it once with Cutler. And like, first we had to like plan the route. He's like, all right, we're going to start in the video room. We're, you know, going to go out the back end, go through junior camp, up through the thing. Now it gets sketchy when we get up near the pool, like when in the barn, because then those kids will have saws in woodworking. So we're gonna go that way. We're going to run around the back. And he took off like a bullet because he goes, oh yeah, the kids often will just run after you, and you can't let them catch you because then it ruins the whole story of the surprise. Like, if you were to pull Santa's beard at the mall, like, don't catch the gorilla. So we had to full out sprint. We're winded by the time we're done.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, 1,000 degrees because they're, you know. How many former archery head counselors can we name?
Oh, that is a good question. How many former archery head counselors can we name?
So like before me was Jack. Then before that, was it Christine Claffey?
Yeah, Christine.
A fellow Bellingham, well, not fellow me, but a Bellingham young lady. Before that, was it Danielle Salou?
No.
No.
Oh?
Was it Aaron?
It was Aaron, yeah.
Aaron, yeah.
I think cousins, though.
Yep. Oh, that's what yes. I, yes. Okay, there we
Gail's
go.
Gail's kin.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, Danielle was at the pool. She was in the Navajos with me.
Scott Howe.
Yeah.
Scott Howe did it.
Panciaco.
Yeah.
Way back.
Oh, yeah. This guy, Tim, he had like a funny, he would always wear that like the hat with a round brim. Yeah. He had like a little goatee or soul patch or something.
Okay.
He was there when I was a camper because by the time I was older, I was pretty good at archery. So I would kind of get like a bullseye every time. So toward the end of summer,
jeez,
back when you would just get a sticker, not in the days of getting shark teeth for getting bullseyes. Tim was a cool guy. He called me Robin Hood by the end of the summer is what I was getting at.
Oh, nice.
There was Megan, I remember.
Yeah.
Yes. She was from Bellingham too, as I recall. Yeah. Yep. Karen Krause.
We're getting pretty far back for me.
That's very far back. Yeah, I think she was right after John Panciaco. So did you guys want to be at archery? Like, I know you kind of, well, I mean, maybe this is less for you, Jack, but like you kind of get the head counselor spot that opens up, like, and you're like, yeah, sure. That's what I want to do. If you're Jack, you know, things are different, but is archery a place that you were like, yes, I would want to be here?
I think first off, let me just address what you said. I was one of the that year of a fourth year assistants. Okay. Life wasn't as cushy for me as everyone likes
both
to think.
Both of us.
Yes, I was definitely excited about archery. I always felt that the, you know, the areas I was most interested in, you know, as an assistant, even as a camper, was boating, archery, games. Those were the ones. So I was psyched right away to be able to do that one.
Of course.
Yeah, same with me, because, well, flash forward to now, I'm now a member of a sportsman's shooting team. So I've just carried my marksmanship ever since.
Are you really?
Yeah, I do like a winter shooting clay targets.
Oh.
Gun shooting league. Yeah.
Oh, but it's not bows and arrows.
No, I've upgraded in lethality, of course. I definitely want to do archery because I mentioned this when I was on.
Yeah.
Let's see. When I was actually right before my senior year of being my senior assistant year.
Okay.
Tom had contacted me and said, hey, next year, do you want to be on the pool staff? Like, get paid a little more, like, you take the pool staff training, blah, blah, blah. And I turned him down because I was like, I don't know. Pool staff seems, I don't know about that. So then I was like, all right, well, I guess you can be just a regular assistant again. Sweet, no problem. So then I did video, was my first year as a head counselor, did that with Kyle. And it was a lot of fun, but I mentioned before, I didn't like the fact that I didn't have a tribe.
Right.
I really wanted to have a tribe. So then I asked Tom, hey, can I do something else? And, yeah, sure. Archery's going to open up. That was great.
Is it possible that your not wearing a shirt at all was somewhere deep seated? The like, I could have been on the pool staff. Okay. I'm just not going to wear a shirt. And
in the pool, maybe.
Yeah. I made a huge mistake.
When I was growing up, getting a bullseye was like obviously a big deal. That's the point of it. I don't think I ever got a bullseye. I was trying to remember. I'm not sure if I did. Aww. And that's disappointing on a number of levels. But it went from, I believe, if you got a bullseye, like that was great. And then it was always an announcement at the end of the day, like the archery counselor would be like, hey, the following people got bullseyes. Or maybe even before that, it was like, if it was like a good bullseye or something, and then everyone got announced. And then you mean to tell me that it went from getting a bullseye to being announced to more? Then what happened?
So I definitely remember being a kid getting a sticker.
The stickers were certainly a thing when I was a camper, where like it was a sticker and said, I got a bullseye, and someone would draw like an archery target and be like, yeah, I got to wear it around all day. And everyone knew, they got a bullseye today.
Yeah.
I think at some point they switched from that to arrowheads, which the kids loved.
What?
You passing them out?
Yeah, I remember passing them out. I actually... when I was archery counselor, because the stickers have been gone, I was like, let's bring the stickers back because that was cool. We kind of get to flaunt it all day.
Right.
I actually didn't want to do the arrowheads, mainly selfishly. Like, I just want to keep inventory of them.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Can I pause? Maybe I'm not remembering it. I was saying shark teeth earlier. I think you're right. They were arrowhead.
Yeah.
Arrowhead makes way more sense.
Sharkery shark lovers who got real excited.
How's Gail getting her paws on shark teeth? Like, they switched at some point when we were like younger counselors to from stickers to the arrowheads, and the kids loved the arrowheads. I guess I just didn't, because I was never a camper getting those, and I also didn't get a lot of bullseyes either, Sarah.
Wait, I know that's good. I always liked you, Jack. Wait, so it was, how big were these arrowheads? What, tell me about these arrowheads. What were they?
So maybe like the size of a quarter or smaller.
And it came like a next case.
I remember him being in a little plastic bag, but it was a necklace. I remember it being a necklace that you wore.
Okay. Well, we'll have to put up a poll on Instagram.
Yeah.
So then question for the two of you guys. In general, and maybe for us being younger, approximately how many kids do you remember at the end of the day having like their name called? Like how many kids got bullseyes in a day? When I was younger, I remember being like, like 5 kids in a day.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I feel like it grew and grew, right? Like I remember being like, well, hold on. What's the bullseye? Are we counting the whole yellow thing? Like, because that list was pretty darn long sometimes. Yeah.
I only counted that center circle because that's what it is.
Okay.
Also, I think it did grow Scott, and maybe this is a segue to something else, but they had superior equipment to use when we were head counselors in archery compared to what we grew up with.
Because what I remember is a plastic bow and, you know, like a regular arrow.
Like red.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't go to the training. I'm not sure. But like, yeah, it's a, even when I was little. Yeah. I was like, I could not go into the woods and shoot a deer effectively with this. Definitely Maybe that's not. Why I didn't get. So what did they upgrade to?
So Scott alluded to that the training was a sales pitch.
Oh, no.
I fell for the sales pitch.
Oh, no.
No, I think it was a huge improvement. I'm actually, it was cool to see the, because it was the same bows and arrows the entire time I was a camper. And it was the same thing. It was red plastic, fiberglass, whatever you call them, things.
Yeah.
And they were just very old. And when I was at the training, the guy was showing us, like, we don't even sell those anymore. These are, and they were much nicer bows. They obviously cost a bunch of money. Sure. And it, maybe this is where it is nice to be the director's son, is that I felt comfortable asking for Gail to make a purchase. Okay. I think a lot of people probably just said, I'm not going to ask Gail to drop like whatever amount of money on these. So Gail, without hesitation, was like, yeah, it's probably best to replace them. So they might still be there. They probably are. They were just the white ones. They're like, you have to put them together.
They're called a recurve bow, because it's not just like, it doesn't make just like a D shape. The old ones, the bow would be the curve and the string comes down, looks like the capital letter D. These ones had like the extra curve in it for like make the draw weight a little nicer. They also were like, they were notched so that the arrow really sits right in the middle and isn't like slightly aimed left or right. I was calling out like 15 names a day. For bullseyes, it would have to literally be like Tom would kind of start the going around the circle up near, you know, the up near the tree there, like, hey, anyone got anything? And if you, especially if you said, oh, we got to be quick today, I would have to just, like, go from wherever my post was. I would just have to get in his face and be like, I have like 20 kids I got to call out for bullseyes.
The kids had a lot easier than you did, Sarah.
My goodness. Well, so it's funny. I mean, you guys obviously weren't head counselors when I was there, but even as toward the end of my tenure, I remember there being more names and it would just like grind on me because I was like, I could never do it. Like they've got to be making it easier somehow. So that's crazy. So are we sending kids to the Olympics? Because like, that's.
Do you remember, for a few years, there was a young lady, Lauren, who was from Bellingham, worked there. Mm-hmm. And I think she was only an assistant for a few years. And it was kind of...
I believe she was nationally ranked at archery.
What?
Yes, like for youth.
So she showed up one day with like...
a crossbow?
Like James Bond's personal archery equipment or something. It was all like Olympic quality equipment. And she was kind of like the joke in it was an archery competition. And so Tom's like, oh, it's going to be Scott Howe. You were in archery.
Yep.
It was all the former archery counselors. Christine was the current one. Scott Howe, John Panciaco were like competing.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
And then a last minute entry. We don't know if she's going to be any good. She comes out with like her professional war equipment and just knocks a bullseye every single
time.
And
it wasn't like the distance that we would shoot bows and arrows in archery. It was like the actual, I don't know what it is, but it had to be like 40, 50 yards that she was firing bullseyes. Like,
does she have like the scope too? Yeah. And
like if you watch the Olympic archers, it's all the same equipment.
She's got like a flag gauging the wind. That was cool. That was cool to see. Yeah.
That's really, how many years was she there? Did she leave to go pursue archery?
Probably. I think she was only there like 1 or 2 years.
Wow. I'm happy she carved out time to come to camp.
Just as good as getting a bullseye was definitely going into the blue whale, which I'm sure you got to experience. Right? That was cool and awesome and terribly hot all at the same time.
When we were growing up, I believe the backstop of archery was the blue whale. It was an enormous tarp that was like late, flung over like a like triangle. Yeah, just a frame. And if you, when you would miss the target, as we've established, I would, because I never get a bullseye. If you missed horribly enough, if you missed the hay bales, check. And you shot it hard enough, it would go into the blue whale. So it was kind of like a thing, like, oh, mine's in the blue whale. So you'd go in there, you'd scoot around to the side, you'd pull up this tarp, and it's 250 degrees in there, and it smells like hay, and you can only see the light coming through from the holes in the tarp.
It's like a planetarium.
God knows what type of insects and critters were like at the bottom of that.
I know.
Yeah, it's no fun.
Rats.
Yeah. And we were just like, let's get in here. And then you'd go in there. Yeah. And you'd find your arrow. So you guys had the blue whale growing up, right?
But growing up.
Okay.
But then it eventually got upgraded to like a very taut, firm,
like mesh.
Yeah. Netting. Just like a flat wall netting that was sort of like, they get stuck perfectly in there, but it wasn't the two sides like the blue whale.
It would just like die and fall down.
So it wasn't nearly as fun.
No. Did that happen immediately after? What was her name? Lauren? Was she like, you know, I know a guy who sells the perfect backstop. This is really not professional grade.
He also runs a certification camp.
But the blue whale used to be like a pretty big landmark at camp. It would be like the archery counselor would be like, I'm the head of archery. We meet down at the blue whale. Like that was a thing. So did we have a name for the new backstop?
No, it was not fun whatsoever. So unfortunately, we did not. But Jack and I were just chatting about another kind of silly little thing that was there was always the bonus picnic table.
Oh, that was the best.
That was never used for the tribe's lunchtime. It was always the one within the flags, you know, stay outside the flags if you're not shooting. Oh, come inside the flags. There's a picnic table right there. Specifically for the head counselor to sit on and relax and
in the shade
and watch, you know, an eye on things.
The CIT would sit with the kids outside the flags, making sure everyone was behaving. And
yeah, the assistant would make sure the kids at the shooting line were doing things appropriately. And the head counselor, having to watch everything, would of course sit at a table with no one else around. Your safety and mine, stay away.
Yeah, definitely an authoritarian complex, the archer counselor here.
Yeah, you rule with an iron fist.
Only activity with weapons.
That's right. Yeah.
That is fact. Only activity with weapons. So
thank you for saying that, Jack, because that reminded me one of your other podcasts. You were talking about what activities should we have.
Yes.
And by the way, yoga should never be an activity at camp, because I can't imagine a 10-year-old boy ever wanting to sit through multiple days of 30 minutes of yoga. So strike that. But substitute it for.
Wow.
It's okay.
Wow. That's okay. You and my friend Lee share a similar opinion. She's like, she's a listener. She doesn't go to camp or whatever. And she's like, yoga? And I'm like, yeah. So good to know. I'm in the minority.
So we got to do this instead. And they had it at the training camp where they sell you the sales pitch. It's got to be BB guns, because that would be a great addition to archery. You know, maybe there's like, well, you figure out the age or something, but I remember some of the archery training camp was like, oh yeah, and like, if you're going to be teaching BB guns, like, here's how to do that. And I was like, oh, we don't have that in my camp, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah, so like third session, they're like, hey, we're bringing out the guns.
Yeah, that'd be excellent.
I think run it by Gail. I think probably that
sure will happen. Sue is going to say absolutely.
Sure, yeah. Oh, guns? Sure.
Yeah.
What is the day-to-day of an archery counselor? You alluded to it. I think I know what it is, but for the outside viewer, what does your day look like?
I would say it's consistent throughout the day. There's not a lot of variety in the lesson planning for archery. It's a very popular spot with the campers, and you know, you only get to go, maybe if you're a one session camper, you get to shoot arrows once a week. So there's not a lot of room for variety. I mean, you can make little games and stuff, but for the most part, they just want to get a bullseye.
Yeah.
They want to get an arrowhead slash shark tooth. So, okay. it's, you know, obviously it's a little different depending on the age, you know, how much hands-on help you're giving everyone, I'd say is the biggest difference. If it's a tender feet, you're definitely helping them hold everything and put the arrow on. If it's the explorers, or I don't know what they're called now, but the oldest group, then you're going to help, you know, if they know what they're doing, you can kind of just watch from the lovely shady table.
Yeah, it's low stress. The low stress area. Oh, for sure. I want to say that's a great spot to be.
Yeah.
Great cam, telling you.
So I have a couple of follow-ups, but how did you, if you're sitting in the shade all day, how are you getting such a good tan?
Well, you know, you got to move around.
Sure. Okay. That's
established the picnic table is, that's where the shade will be. Oh, but everywhere else, pure sun.
Do you remember as a camper archery? My memory of archery is sitting on that picnic table, not the counselor picnic table, but the one that you wait at behind the flags. And back in my day, there was no CIT there because we didn't have 40 CITs. So the tribe would be sitting at the table, and then both the head and the assistant would be behind the flags away from us. But I remember a lot of like that was like a lot of the like socialization within the tribe, right? So there are a lot of those, like, you remember that, like, crack an egg on your head, like that, like all of that stuff. Like, I just remember a lot of that specifically at that archery table. And it was like, we found a way to, for the 95% of the time we weren't doing archery, to like, yeah, have fun. And like, those are the things I kind of remember more than.
Yeah, entertain yourself.
I remember we had board games too. I remember as a camper more like that, but I think when I was a head counselor, and this has been happening for a few years, there were board games at the table too. Cause you're right. There's like 15 minutes of downtime between when you shoot.
Yeah.
And I'm supervising the people with the arrows. So
yeah, we talked about the blue whale, the backstop, the bonus picnic table. There was always an archery shed that contained the equipment. My year, we got a new archery shed.
Did you guys write your names on the archery shed?
The game shed I did. The
game shed you did?
That one, there, I think that's the one you're thinking of. There's a lot of them. That game shed now lives at Sam's house.
And really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think so. Maybe it's the archery shed. One of them is now at Sam's house.
I might have done it to the new archery shed, maybe.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Wait. So they upgraded the shed. Billy must have painted them so well, I didn't even notice. So they're.
I can't remember the old shed because I had the old archery shed for a year, and I remember seeing a bunch of people had signed their name and stuff inside.
Oh, that's cool. So one's at Sam's house. That's very cool. Keep it alive for it. Still a shed. Still works. Yeah.
Have you ever poking around in his yard and you,
That's right. I believe, Jack, last time we talked, you also told me to rifle through the files to find stuff. So you've got a lot of good ideas.
Oh yeah.
I had one close call ever with an arrow, which was a kind of slightly younger camper was shooting. So me and my assistant were like right up on the line with a couple of kids, like really keeping a close eye out. And like, we're pretty close to the targets because they're the younger kids. And this one camper shoots their arrow, totally misses the target, totally misses the hay bale. The arrow perfectly hit one of the metal poles that builds the frame that's holding up the backstop. It must have hit it like just perfectly dead center because the arrow did a total 180 degree turn and came right back at us and went right between me and the kid who had just shot the arrow.
Oh my God.
The camper who had shot didn't see it. He had already started to like load his next one. But my CIT and I saw it. We just kind of looked at each other, didn't say anything. We was like, all right, we're about to wrap up the day here. This is all going well.
Wow, silver bullet. It's real.
It was close. Jack had an experience slightly different.
Yeah, with those new bows that we were talking about, they had some distance in them if you angled it right. I had one camper who was one of the older ones, and he just angled it to fire it as far as it could. And
sure,
I mean, it definitely got in the wood, maybe not over the river, but it definitely got like past that fence. So that was honestly the biggest concern, to make sure no one intentionally did that.
Yeah.
I won't act like I didn't possibly do that myself when I was an older camper, but
did you ever reach the woods?
No.
Oh, with the...
we'll blame the bow, but I don't think I was strong enough either.
Yeah, because that was pretty far away, right? Yeah. From the woods. Like,
yeah, there's no way those old bows could have reached it. The new ones, this guy got it. I think he got into the river at least.
So how far away did we shoot? Because my memory is
that couldn't have been more than like 15 yards.
Yards or feet?
Yards.
Feet. Yards is pretty far. Plus, I don't measure things in yards.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you on the metric system? Are you a meters guy? What's the problem?
Plus, I like to be honest. I never like measured.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when we set up on the first day of camp during orientation, there's no way we measured where the line went. It must have just been that looks right.
Or just like,
this looks good. Yeah.
Junior camp here-ish.
Yeah.
So
I would confidently say 10 to 15 yards.
10 to 15 yards. All right. Well, it's going to be impossible to check.
I'll just send someone to the camp tonight.
Bill, if you're listening,
that's right. Yeah.
You report back.
What? So here's what I remember, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong. So the steps are to archery. When they call your name, you go up to the line. You stand. You put the line between your feet. Pick up your bow. Oh, I'm sorry. Put on your wrist guard, pick up your bow, put your arrow on, pull it back and shoot. Is that everything?
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Oh man.
We still have the wrist guard, right?
Yeah. Don't run
out. Everyone, parents, we haven't worked there in over 10 years. So
our certifications have expired, yeah. But the current archery counselor.
Hold on. This is off topic. Scott, did you do traffic?
Oh yeah. That was one of my things on here.
I thought so.
I did traffic for maybe a year, maybe two, couldn't quite remember. Yeah, I got like an extra like $10 in my paycheck or something. We were talking about this kind of early. So at one point, the driveway / that the parking gravel area, all the gravel got replaced and it was fresh.
Yep.
Well, when it got replaced, all the new stuff, since it hadn't been there for 30 years, well, now it's very loose. It's not like super compact down.
Right.
So if a parent were to drive up, you know, park right in front of the arches, and then when they were leaving, if they didn't back down sufficiently far enough, if they only kind of back down and then tried to take off, their tires would spin and send the rocks flying at the traffic crew.
Oh, no.
Which then ties back to what we were talking about. That explains why it was just me and the Rice family.
Yeah.
It had to be family members.
It probably wasn't special treatment, even though it looked like it was probably just like, they're...
liability. Yeah. Limit the liabilities. Have the family members do traffic. So if anyone gets a rock in their forehead, they won't sue the camp.
Oh my gosh. So you're just dodging rocks coming at you at 30 miles an hour.
They'd be fired at us real fast.
I remember Shannon Rice saying she would a few times go and hide behind one of the big pine trees because they were like flying at her. Yeah. One of my questions I had written down was, I guess we can do this as a team. We can all be on the same team.
We are on the same team. Yeah.
Can we name all of the tribes?
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, all of a sudden it's easy. Okay.
That's easy. I'll do it one shot. Ready?
Sure, by yourself. All right.
Tenderfeet, Warriors, Mohawks, Pueblos, Algonquins, Comanches, Chippewas, Shawnees, Cherokees, Navajos, Mi'kmaqs, Apaches, Choctaws, Mohicans. Now here's where it gets tricky. Explorers, and then Explorer ones and twos. And then apparently they added Cheyennes and Dakotas.
Wow.
Next question.
Definitely wouldn't have gotten it all in order. Okay.
Really? That's how I feel like it's. Kind
of pick them out of like,
Oh, that's interesting. No.
I don't have
one thing that was awesome about the order, though, was making sure you had, at post. And this is a great thing about post in both the afternoon and also when you're at the circle, the flag, having a good group of other counselors right next to you.
Yes.
And I do remember my last year working there, we had a really sweet like corner there, especially post. It was Allie was in the Cherokees, or you were the next tribe up. Then there was me and Sam right after. Yeah, thank you, Sarah.
Ooh, that's a good stretch.
That was a nice little.
Yeah, that was a good corner. And using a phrase you had in one of your other podcasts, good off the street hire, Allie Landry.
Yes.
Recommended by Jack. He went to high school with her, but I don't think she had any camp connection other than that.
No.
Yeah.
And just ended up being a great
camper. Yeah.
Nice. How long was she was there for a while, right?
Like after I was gone.
Too. Long time, I think.
Yeah. You know, I think she's a school teacher. So she has that ability to go back for the summers. Yeah. I think she kept going for quite a long time. She did great. And then one of her brothers ended up being the music teacher there. Oh. The music counselor there. Steve Landry, I think his name is, like California guy. So he came and did music for at least a summer or two, something like that. Yeah, she was excellent.
The outside hires, they bring something, right? Like as a camper, especially, you always want like your counselors to come back. Like that's, you know, a number one. But when there's an outside hire, like they do bring something else. Like we're all like, they just know more about the world.
Yeah, especially when like they have no idea what they're getting into. Like I'm trying to think if there's anyone who like didn't even know someone who was just, I saw an ad in the paper and I applied and I got there, which I'm sure happened all the time back in the day.
That would have been Banana Mike, would it?
That's what I was going to say.
Because he was Banana Mike, after all. They only do that to people who don't know what's up. But I thought he had a connection, right? Now I can't remember.
Yeah, his mother and my father were teachers together.
But that's okay. Kind of okay, because, that's...
Hey, Sarah, what's your impression of the place from the perspective of a parent?
Oh, it's the best. It was like magic. Oh, yeah. Like, you pull in the lot, after you turn around in the Elks and come back and take a right. And the first thing I noticed was, wow, this is paved.
Those rocks when I was there.
Was it just gravel? Yeah, they paved it at some point. So it's like, ooh, here we go, fancy camp. And then it's as you get closer to the stables, you look down and you're like, oh, there's that like AstroTurf, like green rug-ish AstroTurf right on the outside of the stables when you walk in. And then you can see like the painting on the wall on the inside with like the troop names now. And then as you look over to the right, you see the river with like an upgraded fence. Do you remember... when it used to just be like a wood fence with like
climb right through it.
Right through it. And, I was thinking about this. Do you remember the counselor competitions, the like canoe races basically?
Yeah.
And they'd have the whole camp just lining the riverbank.
Put them all in there. There's room for everyone.
Yeah. And it was like
all the snakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like,
you don't have teeth.
You can't go past this fence ever during boating. But if it's the whole camp, we can all walk on the other side.
The lifeguards are there, so it's okay.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. It was just one of those things like, that's amazing. And I wonder if they do that still, because I think they might still do that, the canoe race. And I was just like, I wonder where they put the camp to watch, if it's behind the fence or not.
Hmm. So what my favorite, it wasn't really competition, but my favorite one to watch each year was Bananas, talking about new outside camp counselors coming in. Mm-hmm. That was so funny to watch. I mean, that's where Banana Mike got his namesake.
Oh, the actual competition.
Banana Mike coming in. Yeah. Like in the Bananas where the two people are blindfolded and they
only one person has to end up eating a ton of bananas. But that is a classic camp prank that kept going year after year.
Yeah, that was always great. That was always my favorite.
I remember when they introduced that for the first one. And so like the first year they did it, I don't remember who the counselor was, but I remember being like, oh, this is new for me too. And I was like, I was relatively young. So as it was going, I want to say it maybe was Bubba.
I remember Bubba.
I want to say it maybe was him. And so they all got up there and then he's the only one eating. And like the gears in my brain were like, this is fun. And then it kept going. It was awesome. But no, to finish the point, as a parent, it's amazing. And it's like, granted, I have all of this you know, knowledge of having been there, and here we are hosting a podcast, which is not a thing that a lot of people do. But you can, you, even without that, I would feel confident saying, like, you're like, this place is pretty cool. Like, you drop them off and just like to pull up and to see everyone there, just like the vibe of camp. It's just, it's very, very cool. And then on the mornings where they would just have the bows cranking, like the Beach Boys or something, it just, it's so festive. And it's just, when the kids get back in the car, you can just tell that they have had an amazing day and they're exhausted, which is great as a parent. And that's really all we're looking to do.
Well, there was one more pretty good prank that Jack and I did when we were CITs or assistants.
Oh yeah. We were like assistants. We were older assistants. We were confident enough to pull this off. We were both with different groups for tribe time, but I think it was your sister Katie and possibly Courtney, I want to say. They were, because they were friendly, they were like, let's do a group walk all the way out to the power lines for tribe time. And Scott and I were just kind of, because you always want to stay in the back, make sure no one like fell behind. So we were hanging in the back. And I think Scott goes, what if we just start running behind them and start screaming bees? And just see what happens.
Let's just, yeah, we'll just run past everyone yelling bees, bees. It'll like, it'll be hilarious.
It did go about as you would expect it.
It went so well. We ran the entire way back to camp and all the kids were like, oh my God, run. My sister's gone, run, run, bees.
Come on.
We get to the bridge. Oh. Jack and I just fall down laughing. And my sister was so upset at us.
Running not allowed at camp, by the way.
Running in the woods not allowed.
And especially in the woods. Yeah.
That was a big break.
There had definitely been like a bunch of kids getting randomly stung by bees that summer too. So it was like, it was a real enough thing that like, oh yeah, we're going to have some fun. Right.
Stepped on a hornet nest or something.
That's a great prank.
It was a harmless prank. Speaking of trips out to Sue's house, yeah, that happened to me when I was a kid. I told you that on mine. Then Freddie recounted a recent experience. Freddie, great hearing your podcast, brother. Would have been nice if you'd mentioned one of me as being one of your head counselors, as I was, but that's okay. Not bitter at all.
Hey, that's...
I actually ran into Freddie a couple years ago at... it was called Xfinity Center when I worked there, and whatever the concert venue Mansfield is, some people call it Greatswood. I don't know what it's called now.
Yeah.
I saw him there, and this is going back 4 or 5 years. And he said, "I said, oh, I still see Scott Sorensen sometimes." And just within a second, he goes, "Did he have a shirt on?" So he definitely remembers.